Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we delight in coming this afternoon once again as we would gather to worship Thee and to uplift the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that the message that would go forth would come from Thee through the lips of clay as we submit ourselves unto Thee and Thy guiding and Thy direction. Bless our being together as we call upon Thee, for we put our trust and our cares upon Thee as our God and our Father in heaven. May all honor, glory, and praise be unto Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. With God's help, I would like to read out of the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over this people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, and how he laid wait for them in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Canaanites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye shewed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said unto me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, Hast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee over king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore thou didst not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way of which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which would have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Saul turned about to go away, and he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women children, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer. This passage is somewhat familiar for those of us, especially those of us that have read the Old Testament several times, maybe. And it's a story of one king that was, actually he was the first king. And it's kind of interesting to me to read this about him, because when the Israelite people were guided and directed under God's care, they had judges that was overseers of the people at that time. And then the people come along and they decided, no, we would like a king like the rest of the nations. We want a king. And so they pressed Samuel and insisted on having this king. And so eventually Samuel consented to this. And then God actually consented to then, okay, I'll give you a king. And then this man happened to become the first king of Israel, King Saul. Just a little bit of his background. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was That was kind of a small tribe. It was humble, and he was this kind of a man. He really wanted to serve the Lord, and that's why he was, I believe, chosen by God, because he did have reason to turn to the Lord when he was young and in this position. It also mentioned that in this book, that in Samuel, that he was a tall man. He was a head and a half taller than everyone else, and to boot, a nice looking man, and as a result, become the people's king. So here we see that he was called and told by Samuel of a something that the Lord wanted him to do as king of Israel. And when we think of the Israelites here, there obviously was a lot of Israelites. He had an army of over 200,000 men, footmen, plus 10,000 from Judah. So this is a large army. So if he had that many footmen, can you imagine how many Israelites there had to be to furnish this kind of, this numbers of footmen? There's a lot of people we're talking here. And so he has this big army, this great army, and God gave him this responsibility and told him, look, this is what I want you to do. The Amalekites, they were evil men. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they would not allow them to go through their land. And they was sinful. They would not allow it, and it displeased the Lord. The Lord was very displeased with this. And so what happened is they had to fight their way through, or they went around, or whatever. I don't remember the story why they didn't get through there, but that's kind of what happened. But the Lord was displeased with the Amalekites. And so now he wants Saul to come and utterly, as it says there, utterly destroy him. Now, when God says something like this, he's not just talking whoever you think needs it, or whatever, just go ahead and take care of as much as you can. No, when God said, utterly destroy everything, men, women, children, animals, it didn't make a difference. All of them was to be utterly destroyed because of the sin that God had against them, of the sin that was in here, and God wanted them wiped out completely off the earth. Okay, so he goes to battle. And what happens, it says here, that talks about him going, and as he went, he did get into the battle. And but for whatever reasons, it says the people saw, and when they refer to the people, they're talking about these footmen, they referred to, they saw that what was happening with these, the nice sheep and the animals that was goodly, it says, and there they kept them because they was going to, they had it in their mind, well, we're going to, it says here that they was going to save them to sacrifice them to their God because they was good animals. God always wanted the best when he asked for sacrifices, and the Israelites always give the first, the best, no blemishes. They had to be the good animals for sacrifice. And when these people, if you will, the soldiers, saw these, they saved them. They spared them. Totally against what God said. Now, okay, so they did this. Saul being in charge, being the king, he should have known better. He should have said, no, wait a minute. God told us to destroy totally everybody, everything. And instead, he just left it go by. As a matter of fact, he even saved the king and brought the king bound to Samuel. Completely disregarding, if you will, or not obeying God's word like God told him to do. And so this became a real problem. Because as we can see here, when he came back from this slaughter, And it says that Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Number one mistake. That was a lie. Yeah, he went into battle, but he didn't perform because he didn't kill everything, everybody. And so this is number one mistake. He lied and said that he did this. He obeyed God's commandment. No, you didn't. And so then Samuel says, then Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" So you see, Samuel knew that everything wasn't wiped out. Where do these here animals come from? What's up? What's with this? And he said, then Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." So here's Saul. What he quite didn't get it here, because he wanted to know what Samuel had to say. One thing good about Saul, he highly regarded Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. Samuel was the man of God. And everything that went through, that God wanted done, he went through Samuel to relate to Saul. And so this is how Saul then, he did regard Samuel as the leader there, from a godly man. And so he goes on to say, then Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own eyesight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee over king of Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and this evil sight in the Lord?'" Now we got a problem. Because Samuel knows now that this didn't happen. And so he approaches Saul. What's this I hear? You didn't do what you was told to do. You didn't complete the job, if you will. Well, then Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And have brought Agag, the king of Malacca, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God." Still in his mind, he'd done a good thing, he'd done the right thing by saving these animals, by saving the king. That is not what God told him to do. So Samuel reminds him. "Behold," Samuel said, "hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" In other words, does God like the sacrifices and is pleased with more than he is with obeying? So he says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For the rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. You know, sometimes we rebel. Maybe we're not satisfied with the way things quite went or the way things are going, and so we rebel. And never once do we think and look at rebellion as witchcraft. Now, we got to understand what witchcraft is. Witchcraft is these here people that would have familiar spirits, and they would talk to these spirits, and they was able to even bring people from the dead. They had this kind of power. But it's sin. It's witchcraft. It has nothing to do with God. It is against God. And here he is linking rebellion with witchcraft. I have to admit, I was one of them rebellious ones. There was 8 of us kids in the family. 4 of them repented and wanted to become children of God. I didn't. I rebelled. I didn't want to become God's child. I wanted to do things the way I did, why I wanted them. Just like Saul did here. And I had the sin of rebellion in my life. I can remember thinking, I don't want the elders to tell me who I'm going to marry. I want to get my own wife. And you know what? I did. I got my own. I dated a girl for a long time, ended up marrying her. Wasn't from our church. And that was the way I wanted it, and that's the way I went. So I know what rebellion is. I rebelled against my own parents. This was not their desire. This is not what they wanted at all for me or for any of their other kids. And I'll tell you, there's a danger in this kind of rebellion. Because I was always concerned, and it kind of was in the back of my mind, but I really didn't care because I was still being rebellious. I was always afraid that if I married someone that wasn't from our church, what if she would never come to our church? I one day wanted to come. I had that in the back of my mind. I want to be a child of God in our church. That was a given. But what if my wife don't want to do that? Because I knew people that had done this, were from our church, married outside, and their wife never did want to come. And one brother I know, wasn't until later in his years, finally, his wife came. I have my own brother. The same thing happened to him. And he wanted to become converted, and his wife didn't want anything to do with this. She still wanted to live that wild and woolly life and dance and all kinds of things. He didn't want that no more. And eventually, they got a divorce. And I had to struggle with this because I never, one thing that I had in the back of my mind, I was one of the first in the Papkos to get married, and our own relation cousins, and I didn't want to be the first one to get a divorce. And so I'd done everything I could think of so that that didn't ever happen. Again, paying for my rebellion that I had went on my own. So I know what rebellion is. It's sin. And this is what he's doing here. He's linking this as sin of witchcraft, as well as stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. How many of us become stubborn? This is what I want. This is the way we're going to have it. We're going to do it my way. This is it. And I'm sticking to it. It don't make no difference. This is what I want. That's stubbornness. Never once given it a realization, well, maybe this might work, maybe that might be better. No, I want it this way, and we're going to have it this way. You see, that's stubbornness. And God and Samuel is linking this with idolatry, as he says here, with this witchcraft, iniquity, sin. Stubbornness is sin. Do we realize that? It's linked with rebellion. And this is the very thing that Saul did. He rebelled. He became stubborn. He did it his way. And then when he was confronted by Samuel, made all kinds of excuses. That's what stubbornness does to us. Oh, but I know that, but this is the way we're going to do it. That might be, no, I want this way. And so we got all kinds of excuses why we don't want to do it way or look at another way or whatever. No, this is the way we're going to do it. And we're stubborn. We're going to stay with what we want, and we're going to rebel. It don't make no difference what you say or the ministers say or what the elders say. This is the way we're doing it. Excuse me? Can we get the connection here? Can we see what this lesson is trying to teach us? It's not just a matter of, oh, he didn't destroy all the Amalekites. No. It's the disobedience in this lesson, the stubbornness. It's iniquity. It's sin. And this is the message for us today. Guard against this, not allow it in our lives. There's ramifications from this. We can see what happened to Saul. And then after he had made all these excuses, he said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. The kingdom was taken away from him. This is how serious this rebellion and this iniquity was. And so he said, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and I obeyed the voice. Feared the people. What is there to fear with the people? You would fear people before you would fear God? Excuse me? You better get your priorities straight, brothers and sisters, friends. We get our priorities crooked and turned around. We're going to fear the people. We're going to do what they say. We're going to do what they want to do. This was his excuse. Wasn't too good, was it? We can see what happened. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again unto me, with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto him, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Plain as day, that's it. You're out. You're done. Now that don't seem like much of a sin. That don't seem like that's all so bad. I mean, come on, he was the king. But just because he was rebellious and stubborn, they're going to take the kingdom away from him? Yes. When you disobey God like he did, and you want to use sacrifices of animals that you had no business doing, then yes, the kingdom is no longer yours. That's how serious this is. That's how serious this rebellion can become. And that's what we see here. The sin of rebellion. It's not good. And we can see what happened to him. He said, I will not turn again. And Samuel turned away to go away, and he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent. You see, Saul was desperate. He grabbed his mantle and it tore. A perfect sign to Saul, you are no longer king of Israel. I would separate you from it, just like this tear from my mantle. And we can see what happened then to Saul. But 1 Samuel says also, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. You see, Samuel reminded Saul who God is. God is our strength, and we rely upon him. If we want to rebel against him, if we want to have stubbornness, he will not repent. He will not change us. We cannot change God's setup or his mind or his idea. Oh, yes, there are times when we pray and we ask the Lord to this or that or the third thing. And the Lord will do this for us sometimes. But when the Lord says, utterly destroy everything, he's not just talking. He's not just blowing wind. That's what he meant. And that's what he means here when he said, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. He had to remind Saul who God is. And sometimes I believe you and I need to be reminded as to who God is. You see, God is our Father. He knows our need. He knows everything about us. And he knows what we need and what we don't need. He knows what's best for us. And we have a little placket at home, and it says, for those who leave the choice to God are the best gifts, best thing for us. If you leave it to God, you go on your own, okay, God won't interfere, but don't expect it to be the best. If you leave the choice to God, you will get the best. And Saul didn't do that. He thought he's keeping the best, he can save the animals. Didn't work. We have to put our strength and our entire being in the hands of the Lord to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us. And Saul could not grasp that meaning. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. We can read later on in this book of Samuel, we can see here where the Lord had left Saul. Because of his rebellion, because of his disobedience, the Spirit no longer was with him. And so he was so distraught by this that he didn't know what to do. That's when David came into the picture. And David would come and play his instrument and soothe his spirits because it would drive him up a tree. It was just too much for him. But David would come and soothe him until finally he couldn't even stand David no more. And eventually, when the Spirit of the Lord left him, it says he didn't know what to do. Now, we can also read that when he was over king, he had dismissed all of the witchcraft people that was in the kingdom. Out. Get out of the Israelite people. You don't belong here. You're out. He didn't want nothing to do with the witchcraft people until it come to such a point in his life and he was so distraught, he didn't know what to do. So he disguised himself and he goes to this, wherever these witchcrafts ended up, and he found one. And he came to her and wanted her to bring Samuel up because Samuel had already died. And he wanted to bring Samuel into his life and so he could get direction from Samuel. So he goes to this witchcraft lady. And he thought he was going to be disguised. She won't know who he is and she'll be able to help him. Well, guess what? She identified him because the Spirit identified him through the witchcraft. And then she panicked because you have gotten rid of all these people and now you're going to take my life. And he said, no, don't worry, it'll be okay. Just bring me up Samuel. And she did. She brought up Samuel so that he could speak to Samuel. And he did speak to Samuel. This is how powerful this witchcraft can be. But Samuel didn't give him the advice that he needed because he would not again listen to what Samuel would say. He did not listen to God. So there's no use bringing up Samuel no more. You see, this is the ramifications of witchcraft and this rebellion. This is what can happen to us. And so we got to take and heed the warning. Heed the warning that God gives us when it comes to this kind of rebellion and stubbornness. Dearly beloved, I believe there's a little bit of this in probably all of us. But we need to control it. We need to guard against it. We need to recognize the fact when we are being rebellious and when we're not. When we're being stubborn and when we're not. And that's why it's so important for us to be tuned with the Holy Spirit, be tuned with God's direction in our lives. Because Satan will guide and direct you if you don't. And he will lead you astray, whether it's witchcraft or any other way. And if we're not close to the Lord, if we're not tuned within, if we're not a part of his guiding and directing his Holy Spirit, we will be just like Saul. We'll be stumbling around trying to find answers, trying to get peace, trying to get satisfaction. And because we have left the strength of our God, we'll lose. We'll have problems. So let us be aware of our lives. Let us be aware of what's in our lives. I can't come to you and say, oh, you're stubborn, you got to get rid of that. I have no idea. Nor can you come to me. I have to control that myself. And I know when I'm being stubborn. I know when I'm being rebellious. And I have to watch. I have to guard it so that we don't. Only we can control that by the help of the Lord, by his guidance and his direction through the Holy Spirit. May God bless these words upon our hearts.
Example of the consequences of disobedience. There was a great rift now between Saul and God because of his disobedience. When, as Brother Bob referred to, when Samuel was dead and King Saul went to that familiar spirit to raise him from the dead, because Saul was having now troubles with the Philistines. And so Samuel says to Saul, wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing that the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemies? That is what Samuel told Saul. The Lord has become your enemy. And it's because, and he refers to this incident where he didn't completely destroy, he didn't follow the obedience of completely destroying the Amalekites. So there was a consequence for the disobedience. And the Lord, and the consequence was is that the Lord has departed from him. Forever. There are consequences also for obedience. The apostles were obedient to the word of God, to what they were told by the angel to go forth and bring forth a message of salvation. So Peter and John answered it to the people that were questioning him, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. And so when the disciples did obey, there were consequences from man. They were imprisoned. They were beaten. There were consequences. But they were not departed from God. God did not depart from them. God gave them salvation. God gave them a deliverance from condemnation and from evil. And God was with them. So there are consequences to disobedience, and there are consequences to obedience. But God wants us to live forever, and God wants us to follow him. So as we heard this morning, that we would follow the Lord and have that those eternal consequences of being with him forever. So may God bless his word upon our hearts, and may this word speak to us individually. Amen.